We are continuing in Siman Kuf Yud Daled. Today's not so halacha l'maaseh, but I figured we'll go through just why not finish the Siman. Tomorrow night we'll begin Chol Yisrael, Chol Stam, Chol Akum. We'll go through it this, and it's a good chazar. I view it as like doing math problems and just reviewing the basic concept we've been learning and so learning some other principles. So we're not going to know every single situation it's referring to here, all the mitzvahs, but let's at least read through and learn together a little bit. So Kuf Yud Daled Siman. I rather sif zayin. So the mechaber writes, Shemen v'dvash shel oved kochavim mutarim. Oil and honey that's made from a non-Jew, it's mutar. Ve'enam ne'asarim mishum bishul oved kochavim. Honey and oil are not subject to bishakum. Ve'lo mishum giulei oved kochavim. It's not a problem either of, aren't they using their treif pans? Shouldn't that be a concern as well? Says Shulchan Aruch, that is also not a concern. Ve'hu adin l'mayim chamim shelhem. And also, when it comes to hot water, we're not concerned that it needs to be an issue of kosher. Because we'll see in the Taz in a second. Now, I don't know whether this is all going to be true halacha maisa nowadays. I don't know how things have changed. But let's just walk through at least the Taz and see the explanation why these three items, honey, oil, and water, are not subject to bishul akum, nor any issue of gili ovil chavim, which is referring to treif. So Taz right on top here, Sif Katan Zayin, Mishum Bishule Ovde Chochavim, Sharei Nechal Kimo Shuchai. You eat the oil as is. You can eat it raw. So the fact that it's cooked, that's not going to make it subject to Bishul Akum. Vilo Mishum Giule Ovde Chochavim. It's not a problem either of there being treif in it. Dehainu, which means Plitas Akli Me'iser, that they may have used that same pot for pig and now are using it for olive oil. Shayabo Mipunesha Basar Poge Mesashemim. Because any meat, any pig flavor that may have been in the pot, the same canister, whatever they're boiling the oil in, it's going to ruin the flavor. So since it's going to ruin the flavor, no one would ever sell olive oil with a used pot that was used for bacon. V'chein dvash, same holds true with regards to honey. So again, walking away from the Shulchan Aruch, sounds like you could buy honey, oil, and water anywhere. So again, I don't know if this is all true l'maisa. Water, I don't think you need a hechsher on water. Nothing will get mixed in it. No one's going to ruin the taste of it. I don't know about honey and oil. I don't know the matzias. If there's concern of people switching things, adding things, flavoring things. Anyone know anything about that?
It probably depends on what else like that company makes. Like if it's a pure olive oil manufacturer, and they're not making other types of oils and other distribution, then probably if they have these like boutique type places, mm-hmm. that's probably fine. If not, they're messing around with other types of stuff and using the same machines.
Right.
It's but all natural.
If it's all, they advertise it all natural, but can there still be concern they may have flavored it with...
I'm saying natural in the sense of it's only oil or it's only honey without other flavors.
How do you know that, though?
They have to put that on the label.
Right. So how does that work as internationally? Buy an Italian olive oil?
If they want to sell it in America.
Uh-huh. Okay.
One of the big problems is not the... It's a making the thing itself, but it's the transportation. When they transport it in the tanks that they use to transport all these,
But that wouldn't be a concern either, because if that again, they're concerned that it's going to ruin the flavor, so they wouldn't transport it in something that's going to give it a bacon flavor to the olive oil. So I would think it's fine also, as long as they advertise it being natural and they have to keep to that, and there's a certain governmental regulation, that I would imagine it would be fine. But again, I didn't research this lamaisa.
Just bishul akum, it's still made a hechsher as far as the, if it was a company that was producing and wanted to go under a hechsher, they wouldn't have to have a shkia in order for the bishul aspect.
Right, but...
I think he's getting a process,
that's what he's saying. If it's on olive oil, so no company is going to want to make olive oil and put it in a bacon, you know, flavored canister. It's going to ruin the flavor. So that's right. So I'm saying I don't know if we rely on this lamaisa. Shulchan Aruch says you do. Could be things change. Could be bacon or some other tray food maybe adds flavor to olive oil that makes it, I don't know, spicy or sweet or something. I
just you have to list that.
Would you have to if it's only Tom that's in the yeah? So I don't know.
I think for these things
depends on what they call it. 100% pure, you know, olive oil. It has to be 100%.
So why do you ever need hashkach on olive oil?
Because
you don't.
Because we're brainwashed.
Uh huh. Okay. Fine. You gonna do research on it?
I'm not gonna sell it in Gourmet Glot unless it has hashkach on it.
Is that really it? You think? Let's look it up.
Money involved somewhere.
I'm gonna put it down on my list. I was supposed to do it the last time, but I forgot. I'm going to put it down on this list about olive oil. Water, the same thing.
Well,
honey also, people buy from fairs, they buy the honey.
Uh-huh.
Like in Hunter Island, they have like these 100% honey.
And then you could rely on that?
People have.
Okay, I'm bleeding out there. I will come back with some maybe more modern psak, if there is a modern psak. I don't mean modernish. I mean just contemporary psak on this. What? I'm sure OU and all these companies do. Okay. Shulchan Aruch writes, Sifches. Hakafrisin, v'hakaplotos, v'hachagavim. So these are different types of fruits. Chagavim are grasshoppers. Shelahem. Hakvushim, that are pickled. Mutarin, there are mutter. V'hu sheroa shemotziam osa me'otzer. Only if you see them, take them out of the storage place, fresh from the pickling area. Aval hanimkarim b'chanus asurim shema zilaf alein yayin. But let's say you don't buy it from the manufacturer, you buy it from the store. The store bought it wholesale from the pickle guy. So the pickle guy now gives it, you know, sells wholesale to the store. You walk down his place and you buy it from the store owner. Now you're concerned that maybe the store owner took some wine on it and spilled it on top. It might make it look sweeter, it might make it look shinier, more attractive, and that would be a problem because, of course, their wine is an issue of Yai Nesach, so that would be a problem. But the one who makes them, the one who pickles them initially, they're not going to pour oil on it. That's going to ruin the flavor of it. So buying it from the one who made the pickle, that's fine as long as you saw it take it out of the big, barrel that they soak it in. That would be permitted. Otherwise, it would be aser. Look at the Taz Sifkatan test. It explains this. Shema zilaf alem yayin v'afilu b'makom shayayin b'yoka. Even though it's very expensive, and you would imagine they wouldn't want to waste wine and pouring it over the pickles. B'komakom chayshinan k'dei lasas lem reyach tov b'yayin muat shemezalif chayshin alazeh. Apparently, pouring a tiny bit of wine will produce a very nice fragrance on these pickles and make it attractive to be bought. So there is such a concern even with expensive wine. So you can't buy from a store owner. You can only buy from the ones who do the actual pickling. Again, I don't know how this, if you're going somewhere out of town and you see they're making pickles, it would seem that you'd be allowed to. But I could also imagine they could add, who knows what they could add to pickling. I don't know much about pickling. Seth, while you're looking up the oil, can you look up the pickling also? Nothing on it? Can't pickling be anything? What do they put? Vinegar, pepper, salt, spices? You don't think they put any, pig oil? No, they wouldn't? Why not?
Oil is not part of the pickling process.
Would it ruin it? Would it add to it?
Water, vinegar, and then whatever seasoning.
Could also be the jar.
But I imagine they, I guess, so careful about the seasoning of it, they probably wouldn't use a jar that was just used for pig. But you can't imagine any type of spices aren't treif. I don't know. Okay. See that? Look, search pickle, pig-flavored pickle. I'm sure it could come up.
Wine. I would think that they'd probably put wine in.
You think wine now in the pickling? Yeah?
No.
Wine vinegar.
It could be that.
Vinegar is made out of.
It could be that also. I imagine wine vinegar is more expensive than, I don't know. I'm not sure. So, well, curious. I don't know the practical applications of these cases here. Okay, fine. Excellent. We'll try to stall a little bit. Any good stories? Okay. Then the Mechaber continues to say, V'chein zeisim, so too when it comes to olive, shelahem, hakvushim mutarim, they're also mutter, afilu rachim harbe, even if they're very, very soft, ad shegarinehen garinasan nishmetes, and so soft that the pit just kind of falls out, v'lo chashinan shema zilaf alehem yayin, we're not concerned that they poured wine on it, because again, the wine's going to ruin the flavor of the olive. U'bavad shlo yiyu hachatuchos, Bisakin shelahen, so long as it hadn't been cut. If it's a cut olive, so then there's a concern that you use that same knife for a pig, and now they're using it for cutting the olives, so that's going to be a concern.
Why is that different?
Why is what different?
Why is the cutting with the cutting, if you're afraid that there's going to be a flavor going from the sakin into the olives, it's not davar charif.
No. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, if it's the spicy, pickled olive, is sure it's davar charif. Yeah. Look what the Ramah says. Aval, Adimaacher rather, Shehem Charifin, Balu Menasakin. Since the olives are spicy, they're sharp, so it's going to absorb any flavor that may have been embedded in the knife. Aval Im Nichbashu Bekalim, Shove Kochavim Mutarin, if they had been soaking, pickling in non-Jewish, non-kosher Kalim, Dimaacher Shesh Mayim Imahim, since there's water there as well, kvar nisbata harifasam. So if the olives, you know, you buy olives from a jar that's been soaking in water, I don't know, I don't eat olives. I don't buy olives, I don't eat olives. But when it's in those jars, I remember growing up, my parents would buy olives. In that jar, is that water it's soaking in, or it's that more vinegar, more pickling?
Brine.
It's a pickling solution. It's more pickling to keep it. So he says, if it was being kept in water, so apparently that water is going to dilute it and lose its status of being charif, in which case if you cut it with a knife, that would even be permitted to be eaten. You could eat such olives. V'chein kol kiyotze bazeh. Okay, so this he's really just, as I said in the beginning, that this stuff is not so halach l'maisa, but we're just kind of bringing out some important principles that we didn't learn together, but it goes back to Hilchos Bas Bechalav and Taroves about Davar Charif and a Sakin. But, okay, I just wonder, it sounds like from here, olives would also be permitted to be bought even without having a Hechsher. So put that on the list also, Seth. I'm going to write it down in mine. We'll see what I find. We've got olives, water, honey, and olive oil. Okay.
And olives that have no OU and olives that do have OU.
Uh-huh. The question is, do they really need it or not? You think they could put wine in it, in the solution. I'm going to find out. I'm going to do some research, spilling out tomorrow. Okay. Then the Mechaber writes in Sif Tes, Hanavim Shalahem, their grapes. So now grapes of theirs are permitted, but of course the wine would be a problem. So Hanavim Shalahem, their grapes, Afilu Hein Lachos, even if they're very, very Lachos Harbe, they're very moist. Ad She Minatvos Mutars, even though it might drip out, and you might say, wait a second, isn't that wine that's dripping out? Maybe it should be a problem of Yain Nesech. So the Lach is Mutaros, the grapes are permitted. V'chein kol hakvasim she'ein darachim lasis b'hem yayin v'chometz. So to any other type of pickling, where it's not the norm to put vinegar, that referring to wine vinegar, or regular wine in it, all those cases are going to be, thank you for that. I don't have internet on my phone, but I'll have to figure out. So anything that is not normal to use wine and vinegar on, so that would be permitted. V'chein taris, which the Rama adds in, is perish chatichos da gadol nikra tonina, which of course is tuna. So tuna as well. Shena trufa. Shena trufa, where is that line I wanted? That's not mixed together. Tarf bakalpi, the parak is. So it's not mixed together. V'chein sir shal dagim, the fish brine, sheishbo kolchis. Anyone know what kolchis is? Something? That v'chein Allah shal chaltas mutter. Again, so these items, again, where there's no chashash of pouring any wine in them, all these items are going to be permitted.
And they grow spicy.
Yeah. Okay, and so what did you discover there?
I'm paying attention to the
share.
Okay, no. Honey doesn't need a...
does not.
If it's 100% honey without any other flavor, mm-hmm. at least according to the Star K.
Okay.
It has different additives or flavorings.
Which they make now. They have flavored honey.
Yeah, but it's
fine.
Regular clover honey.
Okay, we'll check that one off. So honey's good. We're still working on olives.
Boiled it up because there's no
exactly, since it's Nechal Chai. Right, since it's Nechal Chai. And we say most honey is cooked, I think, someone said last time, right?
Pasteurized.
Is that considered cooked? I imagine for our purposes it probably is considered cooked, pasteurized.
Is that good or bad for the Jews?
Pasteurized. The way the cooking, well, since honey is nechal chai, it doesn't make a difference. It comes up, pasteurized is relevant when it comes to wine, bishel, whether or not yam mevushel, when it goes through pasteurization, or the boiling, is that considered yam mevushel or not?
I think it was Dr. Sinai was talking about maybe the kalem, concerned about the kalem.
No. Nope, he was talking about
the... Are you concerned about the... Probably don't use kalem that there are no tantalum in...
Yeah,
why would you want
especially
to
in the wine, right.
I was saying for honey.
No, with honey.
Yeah. If it's not flavored, if it's regular honey, I doubt they want to use anything that's been impacted by other things. I doubt factories make honey and pig in the same, you know, company or in the same premises. Okay, fine.
Even if they do make with a pig, if they wait, you know, more than 24 hours,
correct.
It's okay, right?
Yeah, correct, exactly. Sorry. Okay. What, you said something else you found out, or no?
And that wasn't me, but apparently I just looked
at that. That was something else.
Extra virgin olive oil does not need...
No. Oh, I've heard this before. So that's the same thing as 100% natural.
Right.
But I heard one thing about...
Cold press is different.
Cold press is different.
Two ways to make oil.
Uh-huh.
Cold-pressed
Why cold-pressed be different for in terms of halacha?
I think it has to do with what Ezra was explaining, the way they transport the oil.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I have to look into that cold-press. I remember hearing something about Italian olive oil being a problem. Anyone recall something like this?
If it's extra, if it's 100% extra virgin olive oil, it's good across the board. All the Pesach, anything, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
All year round.
Okay.
But once you get it after that first crop, then...
Okay, fine. So then the Shulchan Aruch says, let's go to Siv Yud. Siv Yud, he writes, also likach mehem karet shal chatis. You can't take karet shal chatis, which Rashi says, Rashi, Taz says, Siv Katan Yud Aleph here, that karet shal chatis, chatis hu min pri shekaren bilzara, some type of fruit, but chotkin es krata besakin v'asimishim shamnunus hasakin. So this is a very important point here. He does quote Rashi here. When it comes to buying cut-up fruit from stores and things, cut-up fish from stores, you know, if you could, let's say, ascertain that the fish is kosher, you could see the scales on it. So you're allowed to buy cut-up fish and cut-up fruit and cut-up melons. So the concern is always whether or not the same knife is being used to cut something treif, to cut something else. Oftentimes, they'll write that melon, it's unlikely that they use the same knife to cut melon as they would with pig. Why would they want the pig on the melon? It just ruins the flavor. And that really would be the case on many cut fruit. So you can find heterim of buying certain fruit. Others will contend that in the back of the store, they don't really care. They use the same knife for cutting pig. They may wipe it off a little bit, but there'll still be some dirt on it. And if you want to buy cut fruit, you should really wash them beforehand. It depends on a lot of factors, how liquidy the fruit are. The liquidy fruit's going to collect it more. It depends how hard the fruit is. Hard you push in, more likely you could get embedded in it. So I didn't get the point the first time. So that's a whole other discussion, not for now, but that's what he's trying to get at. This particular Indian here about cutting up the fruit with a with treif on it.
But if it's manufactured, yeah. It'll be less likely.
Correct, exactly, less likely. But we don't have a case of canned.
Like Dole.
Right,
you know, it's
right.
Like Dole.
Right.
Yeah, the cut up peaches or something in the can and things like that. Okay, yeah. So that I imagine you probably could buy without there.
The fruit platters are different from them because they have strawberries. And the strawberries, if they're not checked, they're not washed well.
Right, the bugs.
A lot of bugs.
But are those bugs going to impact the other fruit?
No.
Yes, I think it's so. Just if you, let's say, buy, you have a fruit platter, just don't eat the strawberries.
Don't eat strawberries.
Yeah, fairly.
Blueberries, strawberries.
Raspberries, blackberries.
Yes.
Hey.
Right.
But the mass-produced, like Rite Aid, any of those are cut-up fruit. It'd be okay. They don't have factories.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Even
I would imagine
strawberry
so.
Strawberry parts.
Strawberries not.
No.
The Bodek type and the frozen type might be different.
Right.
But they're actually trying to work on getting a shear here from Rabbi Eisen on how to check bugs. So I haven't heard anything new about that.
Blueberries. Are there a lot of bugs in blueberries? Or no bugs
I've heard different. Depends on the season.
Why?
Which I've heard. So I personally cannot keep up with all these different things. It's hard. You have to really be in the know,
right,
in the fruit business to know what's the problem. They don't update us. I really want them to update from the VOD to let the rabbis know what new concerns there are. But we're working on that. Okay.
What do you think also, like in the supermarket, it's a different guy who's cutting up the meat in the butcher department versus the fruit department. That you would think they're not. It's not. It's not going to use the same knife. It's not the same, like a different area.
Right.
I mean, is that an issue? I mean, you would think
that
there's not going to be
overlap. Yeah, you're probably right.
Because we're conscious of it and we care about it, we're mindful.
You're probably right.
You think the guy who's cutting the meat has some bikias in cutting meat.
No, but like at the end of the day, at the end of the day, the knives may go to a central sink, you know?
And then...
But with the sink, the thing with the sink, though, the problem with the sink is not a problem, though, because the issue, once you've washed it, there's no problem of the knife. If it's a clean knife, even if there is any tom in the knife, it cannot come out unless there's heat or even davar charif. If you're cutting something cold, no tom could come out. Only if there's shamnunis, only if there's something actually be'en, there's mamash on it, can it get onto the fruit. So you're right, and that's why there are many, many kulas, but many people are machmir just because, just to be
know,
safe. You don't know. But we'll get to that. Maybe we'll, not today, but maybe we'll do it after we finish this section of Machal Sov Dechachavim. Maybe we'll, if you guys want, we could go to Hilchos Bas Machal and Tarovas, where these topics are really discussed more.
Maybe we could take a field trip to like Stop and Shop or something.
We should.
And see like what...
I'm not sure. Right.
Fine. Let's finish this. Let's finish this simon. The Mechaber says Sif Yud. Also, we can also go to Gourmet Glot, by the way, in Seasons.
Right.
And see.
But they're careful.
I don't know if you want to find out.
He took the rabbis. We went.
I know, but I think we're cutting in on Malib's turf.
No. I think we could pull it off if there's real interest. If we learn it well, not this.
But they're separate.
Good, sure, that's true. That's true. But the bug check.
Right. They're doing everything
right.
The right way. We want to go to a place that.
I hear.
Fine.
Shulchan Aruch says, Siv Yud. Also, Likach Mem, Korach, Chaltis, again, that cut up fruit. The Taurus, Chufa, Vechilik, Dainu, Mine, Dogim, Ktanim, Muravim. You can't buy small cut fish together. Mipnesha, Dogim, Tameh, Mis Arvim, Mem, because you can have non kosher fish mixed with kosher fish. Venu Yachal, Afridam, you can't really separate them. And you can't buy anything pickled from them if it's cut up because they put wine in them. That's all true with respect to eating it. You are allowed to get hana from it. That would be permitted. But if you know for sure that yain is placed in it, it would be asur because when it comes to machal sasuros, anything usher to be eaten, you are allowed to get hana from them, with the exception of bas b'chalav and yain nesach. So if you know for sure they put yain in there, there's a concern of yain nesach, so then you can't get hana from it either. If you look now at Sivkatin Yud Zayin of the Shach says that asur mafilu b'hana u'mocha kula chutz mi. Oh, we actually didn't do the Ramah yet. Fine, let's do the Ramah first. So this is going on Shulchan Aruch, fine. This part we don't have in the Shulchan Aruch, though. This is in the Ramah. You sell it, mochach kula chutz midmei yayin esek. You can sell the items, the Ramah writes this, except you can't get any, you figure out how much wine's in there, and you can't get hana from that wine, that's a 5% wine, you have to take off 5% of what you're selling. Hainu medina, that's all mahalacha, about lemay dekaimlan reishim and kufchav gimel. We'll get to yayin esek in some time from now. Nowadays, since most people are not worshipping Avodah Zarah, so granted we can't have any wine that was touched by them, but it doesn't have a din of Yai Nesach, where it's a real Isser Midiraisa and Asr Mahana. It's called Stam Yenam, and Stam Yenam is Mutter Bahana Bimakom Hefseid Meruba Huadin Hacha. In a situation of a big loss, so it would be considered permitted. Here as well, he says, would be permitted, even though there's not a big loss. He says you're allowed to sell it to even for the hana of the yai nesach that might be there. Okay, again, we can't fully appreciate that until we've learned the sugya of yai nesach. Now look to the Ramah. Ramah writes, mocha kula chutz midmei yai nesach shabbat. We said you could sell it for everything with the exception of any wine that may have been mixed in there. The im yadua shovid kochavim echad hu ba'ir she'eino ma'ar bo yain. So this is a very interesting halacha. If you know that there's one non-Jew who for sure doesn't put wine in whatever item you're buying, afa pisha shar ovdi kochavim darchan la'aribo yain, even though all other 99 store owners put wine in their pickled something, mutali kach mikulan kol zman shel yada yadinan bevadai shirubo. So what happens is, you know, you come to Woodmere, and you know that 99 of the pickles have wine in them, and there's one guy who keeps kosher, but you don't know which guy it is. So you're allowed to walk into any other store, as long as you don't know who the right one, who the wrong one is. Even though there's a 1% chance that this guy's kosher, you can actually walk into this guy's store and buy his pickles, even though there's 99% chance of him having yain in his pickles. And the reason is, because the talinan lekula, we could be makel, since there's at least one option, there's at least a 1% chance the guy is serving you something kosher. Shemelo irvabo. V'chein kol kayote bezeh b'surei d'rabanim. Since it's an isser midrabanim, nowadays stam yenam is only isser midrabanim. Once there's just 1% chance of it being mutter, you can rely on that as long as you don't know. You can view everything as completely mutter. Talinan, it's called, on isurei d'rabanim. That's a good question. You have to ask. So he doesn't mention this here. I don't know. Normally, the concept of efshir levarer, your person is able to mevarer, you should not really rely on something that's very much bidyavid. But it sounds like from the way he's presenting this, I don't remember all the halachas of that. It sounds like even lechachila would be permitted. Otherwise, you should ask the guy, you know, do you have wine or not in your pickles? Now, im yadua, if you know, shemiktas ov de kochavim bivadei nosin bo yayin, umiktasan bivadein ein nosin bo yayin. Let's say you know that most of the guys, rather half the guys, put in wine, half them don't. Azlinan baser ruba. In this case, you have to go based on the rove, and the chol de parish miruba parish. Aval aser liknos mehem bibateim de chol kavua kemechsa al mechsa dami. So how does this differ? Right, the first case was that was darchan. It was normal, not that vadai. Meaning 1% guy normally doesn't. 99% of the guys normally do, but not always, normally do. So then you could be talinan, because all the cases are really suffic. One's a very low-level suffic, one's a high-level suffic. This scenario now is, you know vadai 50% do, you know vadai 50% don't. So now it depends on the percentage. If 90% vadai do, so you have to go based on rove, and you can't have it. If 90% vadai don't, different guy. 90% vadai don't, let's say, put in the wine, so they go based on the rove, and you can buy their pickles. But that's all when it's called the parish, meruah parish, which means, let's say someone else brought you the pickles. You didn't buy it from their store. It got separated from their store. So then whenever something separates from a certain population, you go based on that rove. If rove was kosher, kosher, rove was usher, usher. But if, let's say, you go to their store, so now you're going to place, you're going to them where it's kavua, this is a very important yusod in all these halachas of bittel or taruvis. If you go to the store where it's called kavua, so then kavua is always mechza al mechza. We always view 50-50. Even though 90% might be kosher, once you go to them, it's considered mechza, mechza, and you would not be able to buy from their store. So these are just, again, some basic principles to keep in mind.
What are the first case where there's 1 in 10? Let's say 1 kosher,
right,
and 10 not.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't that?
That case, because there was no one vadai had it. It was darchan. It was normal for the 9 guys to put things in, but it wasn't vadai that they were going to do it that way. So it was like more respect fake almost.
There's
like,
no kvias exactly. In any of them. There's no kvias.
I mean, even if it's kvias where you went to the store, but it's not vadai that he would have mixed wine in it. So it's kavua on a suffik dirabanan, which we're makel on.
And but because
Stam Yenam is only Asim Midir. But if you knew for sure you went to India where the Imamish worship right before the Zara, that would be Yai Nesach, and then all this would be Asir. Okay. What? You know, India is not a good example of people worshiping about the Zara?
Why? They
no. Really? They do, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's finish off the Shulchan Aruch. Sif Yud Alf. Hamorais, which is Shomen Shal Dagim, fish oil, or fish fat. If it's normal for people to pour wine in the brine or the fat, it would be usur. If it's very expensive wine, where you would imagine they wouldn't waste it to put it in with the fish oil, then it would be mutter, because who would waste wine for fish oil? The place where it wasn't normal to put wine on, mutter leknosa, you'd be allowed to buy it. You could also have them watch it. We're not concerned that they're going to touch it because there's no wine in these things, and you could send it with them, because if it's a place where it's not normal to mix wine with fish oil, then you could assume there's no wine, and all the concerns are fall away. And then finally, just to finish the simon here, Harajba Haya Nizar Mea Korkum, I'm not sure what that is.
Saffir?
It's a spice. Okay. Mipnei Shebichol Haaretz Hahi Haya Mizalfna Alav Yain in Harbe, whatever the area he lived, they apparently poured wine on this type of spice. The Gam Arvin Bo Chute Basa Yavish, they also placed some dry pieces of bacon in it, let's say. So again, in the end of the day, all this stuff pretty much depends on how they make it in the place where you live. So if in America nowadays, or throughout the world, they advertise 100% oil, extra virgin olive oil means extra virgin olive oil, then you can rely on it. If it's a place where darchan to mix up yayin, so again, you have to always do the research and figure out what exactly the mitzvah is each generation, each place that you live in. Okay, tomorrow night at Mitzvah Hashem, we will start talking about Chalav Yisrael.